What is up, guys? Welcome back, and I hope you guys enjoyed your weekend. July 4th is coming up, and I'm finally going on vacation. Finally. After seeing everybody's Instagram posts, I'm like, where's my vacation? And we're finally going on vacation on July 4th, leaving to Outer Banks, which is, we do that every year, and I hope we continue doing that, but that is a nice spot I like to go to, and we rent a random house every, sometimes it's the same house, but we rent a random house every vacation, and it's fun going down there. It's really nice down there, way better than Virginia Beach by a landslide, North Carolina's Outer Banks, but yeah, we like going to Kitty Hawk Kites, and it's just really nice down there, and I really like it down there. But I hope you guys enjoy your, I won't be doing the July 4th festivities, besides driving to Outer Banks, but I think this will be the first year that I really truly don't see or be a part of that, which is kind of sad. Because when I first heard my mom say, we're leaving July 4th, I'm like, what? July 4th? Why? But even though it'll only be a 4-day trip, we usually do a week long. It's kind of sad, but hopefully we have another vacation here soon after that one, because of I don't feel like 4 days is enough. But at least we're going to the beach, luckily. But yeah, I don't. We'll see. It's the summer before I go to college, so I want to make it kind of special. we'll definitely see. But I hope you guys enjoyed your weekend. And I moved in. Last week I moved into my house. Last weekend I moved into the house, new house. And you, if you're watching this on YouTube, you see this right behind me. I got the TV going on. Didn't want anything in the background. I didn't want the TV just being blank. I felt like if I had something back on the TV, it would be kind of interesting to watch and much more entertaining and not a boring background. I'm trying to spice it up a little bit. Got my shelf. I can't have the shelf behind me anymore because of the way the orientation of the room is, but hopefully I start up some streaming. I started up some streaming this week, doing a little bit of that, and reviewing some games, and writing news, and you know, just the usual biz. But again, I'm going to say this for a third time. I hope you guys enjoyed your weekend, and welcome to the Monday Morning PlayStation Podcast. Each and every week, I come to you with a video on youtube.com/DylanLapore or MP3 and on iTunes at soundcloud.com/Dylan_Lapore. And you can always donate to me. It'll be much appreciated at youtube.streamlabs.DylanLapore. And that is much appreciated to all you guys. Thank you for donating and helping me build this. And hopefully I can get enough to buy SoundCloud Unlimited so I can keep making these videos on YouTube and iTunes and stuff. Well, now YouTube is free, but SoundCloud and iTunes, it's much appreciated, and thank you guys for all your help and support with that. Again, oh, I forgot. I tried to come up with my solid intro, but, you know, things happen. But remember, each and every week on Monday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time, there is a MP3 and YouTube video gets posted, and it'll be out for your pleasure to watch. That was a horrible intro. I need to really work on that. But anyway, guys, Let's get in to the news. So PS4 / PC shooter Lawbreakers Collector's Edition is revealed. This is an article from GameSpot I pulled. Lawbreakers developer Bosky Games has teamed up with the Limited Run Games for a physical release of the upcoming shooter. A collector's edition and standard edition will be released this August on PC and PS4. Limited Run Games has done a swell job making games into hard copy, because people still like hard copy. I still like hard copy. You can see by all those games over there. I mostly prefer hard copy games way more. Limited Run does a swell job with their PS Vita hard copies, and that's what they started on. I'm pretty sure that's what they started on, and you gotta get them before they're gone. So both versions will include Abaddon's Journal, 2 character card packs, 1 for each faction, and exclusive Lawbreakers sticker set, Dead Zone sticker and postcard, and an individual numbered box. The $70 collector's edition will be identical on both platforms, with the exception the PC version comes with a digital deluxe Steam code, while the PS4 edition includes a physical copy, like most do. Thank you for doing that. And most of the time for PCs, they always do Steam codes. I guess it's just cheaper and doesn't hurt Limited Run, because Limited Run is an independent company, but they're doing a great job at making these hard copy. But PC's collector's editions are available for pre-order now on Limited Run Games' website, but will close on July 7th. There is no limit to the PC version, as they will be made as to meet the demand. The PC 4 collector's edition will be available for order on August 4th and is limited to 2,500 units, so get them while they last. If you can't manage to get your hands on a collector's edition, or if it's just for you, you can snag a physical copy for PS4. This version will be limited to 5,000 units, and Lawbreakers is a VR game, a PS4 VR game, and it's a gravity, zero gravity arena shooter type style, and it seems pretty cool. I like it. But that is the collector's edition. Collector's edition comes with a lot of stuff. I don't know if it might be for you guys, but the journal seems pretty cool. But I don't know about stickers and collector's editions. I like the journals. I got Taken King collector's edition right there, and I like I'm getting the Destiny 2 collector's edition, and I like the big journal stuff, the books, and I like getting those, and maybe like soundtrack and stuff. But the cards, and if they had, like, Taken King came with, like, 2 cards, and I was like, if they had an actual deck of cards, that would be much cooler than just, 2 cards. But PlayStation Plus free games for July 7th, 2017 is here, and, PlayStation has definitely done it again. This month, they came out with, Life is Strange, which was amazing that they even did that. I'm so glad they came up with Life is Strange. I finally get to play it. I have not played it yet, but I've downloaded all the games. I do that every month. I download every single PlayStation Plus game, and it came out with like $130 worth of games this month, so next month will probably be a similar price. But Until Dawn on PS4 is next month too, and I can't wait to play that one either. I'm very excited to play Until Dawn. And then we have Game of Thrones, the Telltale Game of Thrones on PS4, Tokyo Jungle on PS3. That is like you combine animals and you fight with your animals and you train your animals, and I think there's some dinosaurs in it. And yeah, if you ever played Tokyo Jungle, it's a pretty popular game. I know a lot of people that have heard of it, or at least played it a little bit. But Tokyo Jungle is more like you can think of it like a sim, or like raising animals and stuff, a simulator. And then we have Darkstalkers Resurrection PS3, which I know nothing about. And then Element 41 PS Vita, and then Don't Die, Mr. Robot, PS4, cross-buy on PS4. So there's technically three PS4 games available for your pleasure, which is kind of nice. Now, Don't Die, Mr. Robot won't be listed on your PS4. PlayStation, I hate PlayStation that does this, because they do this. When you go onto your PS Plus games for PlayStation, your PS4 to pick them up, it doesn't list the games that are cross-buy. It only lists the two major games, which is very stupid, and I hope they fix that. But make sure you actually look up or go online and do it. Look up Don't Die, Mr. Robot to get that extra free game if you're only playing on a PS4. But I'm going to have a lot to do on my... I like that. I like PlayStation Plus because they give you so many games, and I have something new to play every single month. And I love it, and it's great. But you know what else is great? Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy. It just came out this Friday on June 30th. For the most part, people are liking it, and I'm happy. Some people have been saying their reviews that the controls are a little bit wonky, but for the most part, people are loving it, giving eights, lots of eights, some nines, and I'm glad people are liking it, and I really want to play it. Just going back, the transition and the work they did into remastering that game was brilliant, and I hope it does well. But what I really want to see is, where's Spyro? I want to see the three Spyro games remastered to PS4. Since they did Crash Bandicoot, Spyro may be next. I mean, I wish Spyro was first. Spyro is my favorite character in video games, and I hope that they do this. I hope that they do that with the Crash Bandicoot remastered, like. But I still can't wait to do. I still can't wait to play Crash Bandicoot, and I hope they consider Spyro. They're both Activision properties. Crash and Spyro, so since the rights have been sold to them, but I hope that they do that. I really want them to do that. But also to note here is that Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy is not only for PlayStation. I think it's for PlayStation for a year, and then it goes on to the other platforms. Maybe Xbox, PC, maybe, and maybe Switch, probably not, I don't know, but it's not exclusive. A lot of people were thinking it's only exclusive because they've only showed it at the PlayStation conferences, and nobody said anything else about it not being exclusive, so we'll see about that. But for the most part, I'm not thinking it's exclusive, but please, please, make Spyro the Remastered, at least the first three games. Those were nice, and I also liked the Legend of Spyro trilogy. That was really cool. Lots of people didn't like that trilogy, but I liked it. The second game was the Eternal Night, was super difficult. That was a very difficult Spyro game. Sony pulls world's fastest platinum trophy game from PSN. Indie title. Alright, guys, sorry about that. I had to leave for a second. Since we're living on a one-story, we transferred from a two-story to a one-story house. There might be some noise issues I'm trying to deal with. I'm right next to the door right now. Maybe I have to go into a different area to record my podcast, or I have to find a way to cancel out the noise. So sorry about any background noise. I had to deal with some stuff, and now I'm back. Hopefully, I don't have to do this often, but we'll see. So, Sony pulls world's fastest platinum trophy new game from PSN that came out actually last Tuesday. Last Tuesday, and the indie title. 5-star, 1,000 top rated was is their actual name of their company, I guess. Advertised it as easiest PS4. I don't know. maybe, I don't know, but PS4 Platinum Trophy, and called it the feat, and claimed the feat could be done in just 20 minutes. The game consisted of a series of interactive tile puzzles users could easily breeze through. On top of that, the game cost just 98 cents. It seems the game was just a sly advertising ploy for the company's Facebook page, which consistently sells PlayStation 4 themes. The game itself just happened to make the puzzles out of 4K wallpaper. So it was like a very, it was a very simple puzzle game where you just slide the game, where you just slide the pictures and make the 4K image. And they actually, so what the story says, they actually, this is from Eurogamer. I pulled this from Eurogamer. They actually take their 4K images they make for the PS4, because they PS4, how PlayStation themes work is that they work with different companies and different independent people, and they make themes for the PS4, and they allow them to sell them on their PlayStation store. And so that's why you see a lot of random themes on the PlayStation store, but they're never for free. And so this company decided to make a game, and so there'll be a tile mover, and they made it the easiest platinum because PlayStation games are required to have trophies now. And so I guess they just went out and made it the easiest platinum because of it used it's typically with games like this, they usually do not have a platinum in it, and they usually just have 100%, that which means it doesn't have a platinum, it just has a series of golden, silver, and copper trophies without a platinum. Lots of indie games do that if it's not that long of an indie game. Like Firewatch does that, and there's a huge list of indie games that do that. But for the most part, since it's not a big AAA game, because those games usually have platinums, this game should not have a platinum. But hey, what is a game? They say. So why did Sony take this away? It's a game, it follows the rules, but it's just, I guess that's not how Sony plays, and they don't want games like this going out and stuff. And it's not really, it is a game, but it's not really, it's just a game that get a platinum, because nobody else would get this game if they didn't have a this 20-minute platinum in it. And I guess they're trying to avoid that because PlayStation, I don't want PlayStation to be like the Steam library where anybody can make anything and it can just be like boom, it's sold. I do not want the PlayStation library to be like that, even though it's taking titles, and I Am Toast is a game on there. I think I talked about that before, but I Am Toast is a PlayStation game. I'm like, who would play this? But each week you might see some random freaking games on the PlayStation store, and it's like the Steam library, but hopefully it's not as big because of Sony has restrictions. But I thank God they have restrictions, because it would be a huge mess, and you can't find real and actual games that you actually will like, instead of let's play tic-tac-toe and checkers and get a platinum in it. That might be fun for platinum hunters and trophy hunters out there, but it's not what PlayStation does. But what PlayStation does is a lot of sales, and save up to 50% off with PlayStation Store's mid-year sale, and 75% off via PlayStation Plus, because it doubles. Mid-year sale ends July 11th at 8 a.m. Pacific, and there is a ton of games for sale. I looked down the list. There is a huge amount of games for sale, if I can go to it and it doesn't freeze. But for the most part, there are a literal ton of games, and you can get games for a dollar, you can get games for 10 bucks. I think maybe if you haven't picked up SoundCloud, that's $10, but I would definitely go check that sale out, and it ends the 7th, so make sure you're quick with that. Again, comparing Steam and PlayStation, they're getting very similar with those sales and stuff. Xbox doesn't really do those giant sales, or the Nintendo doesn't really do those giant sales either, but PlayStation is really good with the sales, and with PlayStation Plus, man, PlayStation Plus is just a must-have if you do not have it already. But furthermore, some of the games that are dropping this week, out on the 7th, we got Energy Cycle on PS Vita Digital, a new puzzle game from the developer of Energy Balance. When you click each cell on the game field, it changes color and the colors of adjacent cells. Horizontally and vertical, you're tasked to bring all the cells to the same color. Sounds pretty easy, but try it to do it. Dun, dun, dun. But try to do it. That's another puzzle game for the PS Vita, out on the 7th, like I said. Out on the 7th again, we got Ninja. I'm going to say this wrong. Yusagumura. Two Tales of Adventure. Ninja Yusagumura. Two Tales of Adventure, PS Vita. Digital. God, that name. Is an action puzzle game combo pack of both Ninja, oh my god, Yusagumura games that challenge players to put their sharpened ninja skills to the test. Players assume the role of, oh my god, Yusagumura, a legendary hero who embarks on a massive quest to save a village from the clutches of vile monsters. Check that out on June 7th, PS Vita Digital. And then on the 7th again, Save the Ninja Clan on Digital on PS4. Save the Ninja Clan is a platformer for casual players as well as speedrunners. There are two ways to play the game. Play through the normal story mode or find secrets to annoy the game's manager watching. Ooh. Lots of ninja games out. Speedrunner, that's you. Lots of puzzles and ninja games coming out. Oddly, don't know why, but apparently lots of ninja games are easy to make, I guess. On the 5th, we got Speedrunner on PS4. Speedrunners, one word. A cutthroat multiplayer running game that pits four players against each other, locally and/or online. Run, jump, swing around, and use devious weapons and pickups to knock opponents off screen. And then we have That's You, PS4 Digital. Set off on a journey to discover with up to five of your friends and family and find out what you really think about each other. Joining the fun is easy. All you need is your phone or tablet. Snap a selfie and enjoy tons of funny questions, texting games, and drawing challenges. So this is basically like Jack in the Box, but That's You is interesting because they're using your phone instead of your PS4, which is very interesting, going to the tablets and phone games. They're trying to connect to your family, your digital family. So you do not need a PS4 controller to play this game, but you probably need it to access it. But you can also use your phone as a remote control for your PlayStation. And if you have the PS4 media remote, which I talked about last week, you can use that, I guess. But that's cool that they're being able to use your phone to play games like that, like I said, Jack in the Box and family fun games and Game Night, Hasbro's Game Night and stuff. Lots, those are very popular, especially with streaming too. Those are fun to watch and interesting to play. Toby the Secret Mime, PS4 Digital out the 6th. Go with Toby and an error adventure in a dark and creepy world full of dangerous situations, enemies, and challenging puzzles. That seems pretty much it for the drop. Toby actually seems pretty cool. It looks pretty cool. It was like this fire, and it's an adventure game, and that seems it's also a challenging puzzles game, but that seems pretty interesting to play. and we'll move on. So, this week I reviewed Perception. Perception is a very interesting game from the people, the Deep End Games studio. There's a lot of people from BioShock that actually founded that studio, which was very interesting, and glad to hear that because of Irrational Games. It's sad that they left, but was it David? God. I can't remember his name. The head creator. I can't remember his name. Of BioShock. But he didn't like... he said he didn't really like all that attention. And every year he was expected to do more and do better. And always do. And he was more of the indie feel guy. He was like, because his stress level and never seeing his family and stuff, especially with AAA games and always working, always punching out, it was hard for him. And I'm glad when they closed Irrational, lots of people were out of job. And I'm glad people, like some of these people, like made their own studio or got hired elsewhere. But now they're making great games, and there's some really good talent from Irrational Game Studio, makers of BioShock and BioShock Infinite. We'll skip the second one. For the most part, Perception is about a blind lady named Cassie, and she taps around with her cane, and you see echolocation. That's how you travel. And for the most part, the game's pitch black, and you travel through. You travel by echolocation, and it's interesting. You have this thing called the presence, always following you, and always trying to, I guess, consume you, kill you, something. You don't really die in this game. You just restart from a certain checkpoint. You always start in the living room for some reason. Perception was a great game. There's quite a bit of flaws with it. I read you my end excerpt. The team at the Deep End Games knows what they're doing, and they certainly have a passion/talent for their work, since the creative director Bill Gardner worked on the BioShock franchise. The ending of the game was brilliant, I thought, but overall the game had a lot of great ideas and weren't completely developed enough. I felt the game was solid. I had blast playing, and the ending was definitely a turn on its side, and I was glad to see that. But there was a lot of mechanics that were not really done that well and focused on that much. But this being their, I think this is being their first game, they did a swell job. And I like the idea of it. It's like a psychological horror thriller. And it has a lot of elements from BioShock in it. And Gone Home is like one of my favorite games, and that I really saw their passion and their drive. Since one of their influences was Gone Home, I really saw that in the game, because just walking up to the door and going inside and exploring reminded me a ton like Gone Home, which was a big game, and I gave it a 63%. Check out the full review on BrutalGamer.com of Perception. I played it on the PS4, and it was a good game, and I hope you guys find it interesting and like it. I'm probably going to do a video review of the game on this channel up here soon, maybe post it next week or something. We'll just see if I have time, but that game was awesome, and I hope you guys will enjoy it. But so we're getting to the end of the podcast here. So games I've been playing. So my brother begged me to buy this game because of he's been playing it and he wants me to play it with him because he has a PS4 and we never really done that. I tried getting him to Destiny, but he didn't really like Destiny that much. But The Division is the game that he begged me to play, and I didn't really was interested in The Division. But man, the graphics in that game are really nice. I'm just like, when I'm playing with other people, I'm just like, slow down, man. This is my first time playing the game. I want to see the game. I want to play the game. I want to experience the game, and I want to look at the story and stuff. People are like, I could care less. I'm like, no, I'm gonna quit if you don't slow down. That's me. I'm just like, have to look at stuff and be like, oh, Jesus, wow, that's because some of the stuff. Like the mall, I was in the mall, and that was really cool. It looked all high tech and stuff, and then there's this ballroom with chandeliers and stuff. And I was like, "Oh my God, this!" The graphics were like really good. And my friend, I was playing with, he was like, "Do I need to change my?" I guess he didn't think the game looked that great. He was like, "Do I?" He was like, "Do I need to change my?" Ratio or something. It's like I was like, no, I was just the game looks good. I mean, I don't know what you're playing on. I'm just playing on my PS4 I bought basically on launch, and just this old flat screen TV that my granddad gave me. But man, the game looks really good, and I've been having some fun with it. Not as much fun as I think right now. It's interesting to play, but I still don't know a lot of what I'm doing. So I'm trying to get people to explain it to me, like the Dark Zone. I like don't understand the Dark Zone. I was just my friend just dropped me in it, and I was in it. And I was like, "What am I doing in here? Everybody can kill me with one shot." And then we had some traitors and stuff, and man, it's a interesting game, and it's really beautiful, and. I hope I get into it at least some before the Destiny 2 beta hits on July 18th, I think. But we'll definitely see about that. But another game I've been playing on my PS Vita is Neon Chrome. And Neon Chrome is like a Hotline Miami, but it's a one of those God, what's the name of it? One of those games where it's procedurally generated, and you go through it and see how long you can go through it, and then you die, and then you have to restart completely. But it's like Hotline Miami, where you can it's the bird's eye view, and you shoot with the twin sticks and stuff, and you can melee. Excuse me. But on the PS Vita. It's really cool and a really great handheld experience, I think. The sound, the graphics, the story is actually compelling too. It's just it's about a VR and you going into VR and trying to save the world, and you only have a certain amount of lives you can go through before you have to end. The game or something? I've only gone through like six lives, and I've gone through a good chunk of the game. So I don't know what happens when you die. I've run out of lives. I guess it's game over and you have to restart. But we'll see about that. Hopefully, I don't have to restart all of my progress. That would really suck. But the game is a ton of fun, and you should go check it out. I got it for free with PlayStation Plus this month. So if you're listening to this on Monday, get it before it's gone. Like, seriously, because it's coming out around the corner. And I've been watching, I started watching. That 70s show on Netflix, I started from the very beginning. They have 7 seasons, I believe. About 25 episodes each season, and it's about 20 minutes per episode, which is a lot of time in my life. As my dad said, a lot of time in my life I'm gonna waste watching that. But so far I've been liking it. It's been really funny. Right now I'm on the episode of where they were. What was it? It was when they're in the car than the drive-in movie. It's like episode 8 or 9. It's at the very beginning, and it was funny. Lots of their episodes are funny. But one movie I did watch recently was Okja. I keep scratching my head. Okja, whatever they called it. It was about a super pig, and I watched the trailer like a couple months ago, and they finally released it on Netflix, and it was really funny, and then really depressing at the very end of it. I'm not gonna spoil anything about it, but man, that was a depressing ending. Oh God, the bangs got to me at the very end, but it's about the animal abuse and meat production and corporate sales and their meanness and ruthlessness. And yeah, it was a very fun, entertaining movie and had a great lesson at the end. And I think they are making a sequel to that. That's what they had an end cutscene after the credits that maybe seemed like it was a sequel coming. I don't know. Tell me what you guys think in the comments or email me or whatever. Tell me what you think about that ending, because I'd like to hear about that. And overall, I think I rate the movie a 9 or an 8. 9 or 8. It was really good. And yeah, tell me what you guys think. And so what I'm reading, so I we have a hammock in the back of the house, and I was laying on it, and I actually started reading Diary of Wimpy Kid again. I like to read what I like to read, and Diary of Wimpy Kid is one of the books, novels I like to read. And it was entertaining and fun and relaxing. It was just reading what I wanted, no simple, no pressure. I just wanted to read what I wanted to read. Because your choice, it's America, right? July 4th, America. My God. But yeah, Diary of Wimpy Kid, it's a series I've been reading for a long time now. Since 2007, I believe. Since I've been in elementary school. And I like the series, and that's like the first book I ever, the first Diary of Wimpy Kid is like the first book, I think I'm reading The Third Wheel, number 7. It's been out for a while now, and that's the book, that's the franchise that first got me into reading. It was simple, fun, entertaining, and I really liked it. But moving on, listening. The Future of Everything podcast by the Huffington Post, Washington Post, I forget which one, but The Future of Everything podcast was, I listened to it. It's been like a 14-minute podcast, I think, each week, and that is pretty educational and entertaining, the way they do the podcast and stuff, and how they talked about this one. They talked about how fabrics will change the future, and how they can make through science different fabrics, like they do with spider silk and stuff like that, making fabrics through different materials and stuff, instead of using plastics and synthetics and stuff like that, or all natural. They can bio actually make material, which is kind of interesting. It was an interesting podcast to listen to, and it was pretty darn cool. But that is it for the this is my notes. If you're watching the YouTube video, this is my notes. That is basically it for the podcast, all the news for the podcast and what I've been doing. I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. It was kind of a short podcast. I guess I'm sorry about that, but if you were entertained at all, make sure you please like the podcast and rate it on SoundCloud, iTunes, whatever. Like it and subscribe on YouTube, and make sure you guys donate on youtube.streamlabs.com/DylanLepore. It really helps me out, and I hope you guys enjoyed I don't know what else to do or what else to talk about, but I hope you guys do enjoy, and I hope I can continue doing this podcast thing for a while, at least how much I can. If I have to quit this or just stop it, I will, but hopefully I can keep it up with a consistent basis every Monday. Every Monday. It's gonna be tricky, but we'll see. So thank you guys so much. I'm glad I could serve you guys. And this is Dylan Lepore signing off.